Welcome to Front and Center, brought to you by Frontier Communications. I'm Dan Lovallo, and boy, are we talking about one of my favorite subjects and businesses during this segment of Front and Center, beer. Who doesn't want to talk about beer? And we are so pleased to be joined by one of the owners of Broadbrook Brewery in East Windsor, located at 2 North Road, Eric Mance. Eric, welcome to Front and Center.
Thanks for having me. How are you today?
I am terrific. How are you?
Doing good. Doing real good.
Give our audience, first of all, an overview of Broadbrook Brewery.
Broadbrook Brewing. We've been open 2.5 years now. Opened on October 3rd of 2013, located at Sophia's Plaza, as you said, 2 North Road. It's just been absolutely crazy. We have a tap room down there, all our production facilities there, we can there, and we're actually outgrowing the space as in that little of time. I can't believe how much it's boomed on us.
Now, you and your friends had been interested in beer long before you opened up the brewery, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We were brewing in the garage, the three of us, for about 7 years in Tommy's garage. Just every Sunday, it was our hobby. One thing led to another. We started entering homebrew competitions around the country. Next thing you know, we're winning ribbons from, big places, Oregon, D.C., things like that. And we're like, wow, I think, it's more than our friends just telling the beer's good. And it was free for them. So now we got real people saying, judges and stuff critiquing and saying, you guys have something here. So that's what we led us down the path to deciding to open a brewery.
Now, how did you get interested in this hobby?
We like beer. Just sitting around drinking good craft beer. We always into that. You had them from Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire and stuff like that. So we'd always be either visiting those or trying those beers and drinking them. And then we're like, seems to be missing something down here in Connecticut. We started making our own and playing around. And then, like I said, one thing led to another where we went down that path and we were making great quality beer. And now here we are 2.5 years later with our own brewery serving all of Connecticut and Western Massachusetts.
Now, did you have any kind of a business plan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I had a big business plan. It took me probably a good 9 months to write and go through that process to get it to where we needed to so that we can go and get the funding and stuff that we needed to go and go down this road.
And obviously you had to plan out the infrastructure, the operation, the vats, all that material that you needed, right?
Yeah, absolutely, everything.
What was that process like?
It was interesting because once we knew when we were homebrewing that we were going to go down this path, we started trying to make our small homebrew system mimic as much as possible what our brewery would be like. We had our system custom built for us through our specifications, and then have some good friends that are process engineers, things like that, that helped us out along the way. We said, this is what we need to do. These guys helped us out and said, all right, you need to do this, or we can tweak this or whatever. And then just sourced equipment, started putting it together, had the plan for the floor plan, stuff like that, and then just built it and opened up.
Now, how about regulations? Well, what regulations are you governed by?
Well, it's the licensing process is the biggest thing. You go through the federal government, what they call the TTB. Then you go through a state process to get your manufacturing license. Our tap room is a public size, so you have the health department to deal with that. Then you also have the town building department for the inspectors and all that kind of stuff that you go through just to get to the point that you can open the door, which took us 9 months. We're about 2.5 months later than we wanted to. But that's typical with delays in getting equipment or things like that.
Mm-hmm. And then once you open, what do you have to do in order to maintain being opened?
Hold on. Just hold on. Because that's what happened. Literally, we opened a door. We had a mug club that we actually pre-registered. It was sold out before we opened, 240 members. So they were chomping at the bit to get in. Our place was packed. And then it was just trying to keep up and make enough beer, buy more tanks because we only had so many tanks and we needed more place to put more beer to make it. So we bought more tanks, put our own canning line in. We started with a mobile canning service, then bought our own line, installed that, and that's up and running. So we control everything. But it's a heck of a process.
So talk about Broadbrook Brewery. Let's say someone wants to go to Broadbrook Brewery. You've got the tap room. What do they go to see?
Well, in the tap room, exactly. Tap room's open Wednesday through Sunday, mid-afternoon to early evening. Fridays are late night till 9. But on Saturdays, we offer tours. We're open on Saturday from 12 to 8. Tours are at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. So the tap room is, we built it very comfortably. You wouldn't believe it from the outside of the building, but you walk in, it's very rustic. It's actually, we built the bar and a barn roof and stuff over top of it. So, and there's barn board everywhere, and it's very cozy and stuff. So people really like to get a nice atmosphere and feeling in there. Unfortunately, the way the building is set up, we could not have any viewing of our equipment. Like a lot of stuff, people see the glass and the shiny right. equipment behind. We just, it wasn't, we couldn't do that. So we offered the tours. And then and again, anybody's in there, they want to take a look at it, we'll just say, yeah, sure, come on, we'll show you around and stuff, as long as one of us is there.
Right.
Yeah.
How about food?
Food, we don't do food, but we do allow anybody to bring food in, and we have a number of restaurants around us that will actually deliver to us. I've actually had one time, it was funny, one lady comes in, she goes, do you have a plug where I can plug my crock pot in? I'm like, sure, right over here, go ahead and you know, help yourself. And people like bring Tupperware and set up camp, and they'll be there for a while. So, yeah.
You've brought some beer in today. Talk about this.
Yeah, I brought four of them here. I grabbed some cans before I left. I'll start with our Hopstillo IPA. It's a West Coast-inspired IPA, 6.8%. It's our number one seller. Going second from that, Chet's Session IPA, 4.9%. Good drinking beer throughout the summer, hot weather and stuff. Speaking of summer, we have our Pink Dragon Wit. It's a Belgian white ale infused with hibiscus flowers. And we actually elevate the carbonation a bit to make it a little lighter on the tongue and a little more champagne-like quality. Excellent drinking summer beer. And then we have, I brought Porter's Porter. So a classic English brown porter. Very, very nice, very great flavor to it, very full-bodied. Excellent selection.
Sure. And you make more beers than that, too, right?
Yeah, we probably make about, 20 to 22 beers. We have the Pink Dragon Wit, which I spoke about, is our summer seasonal beer. We'll be following that by Oktoberfest coming up before you know it, even though summer just started. In our world, we're already thinking about when we're going to start making Oktoberfest, which is going to be soon. And then we go into the season with a Season of the Witch, which is our, call it our Halloween season beer. We have a Homewrecker Holiday Ale, which is a little higher alcohol, nice dark beer, a lot going on in it. We run a lot of different stuff. It's just a bunch.
Eric Mance is our guest. He's president of the Broadbrook Brewery, one of the owners of Broadbrook Brewery. And you're also engaged in what is really going to be an exciting venture with an IPA made in the shade. Talk about that.
Yeah, we are so excited about this thing here. We are collaborating with Cigar City Brewing out of Tampa, Florida. We're actually going to be brewing this beer this week, and it will be released just before the 4th of July weekend, the last week of June coming up. It's going to be released in 16-ounce cans throughout all of Connecticut and Western Mass, but this is going to be something else because it's an IPA. We're going to use fresh fruit. We're actually using twice as many hops that we ever did in any of our brews before. Tommy, my partner and brewmaster there, him and Wayne Wambles out of Tampa, Florida, Tommy and I flew down to Florida about a month and a half ago. Tommy and Wayne hashed out a recipe, went through the process, and they came up with something that's going to be fantastic. We can't wait.
Mm-hmm. This is really exciting stuff. And throughout all of this, obviously you've learned more about the industry. What have you learned?
Yeah, it's a seven-day-a-week job, that's for sure. It's one thing that's fantastic is just like how this collaboration here, all the breweries, for the most part, all really are really good friends. They all get together, even though we're in business as competitors, you would think, but it's different in this business. Connecticut breweries, we all know each other. We help each other. If somebody doesn't have a part, their machine breaks down, or, hey, it ran out of a bag of grain or something like that, we're all phone calls away, and we all just, you know, hey, what do you need, or, you know, help out like that. So that's one huge thing that we've learned while we've gone through this process.
No, when you think about it, it's a win-win for everybody if you do it that way, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely is, yeah.
How about ingredients? How do you go about selecting your ingredients?
Well, one of the ways, the way that we brew, our philosophy and style is we brew as true to style as possible. So when I say that, if we're taking our Porter's Porter, which is an English brown porter, all the ingredients are from England. When we do our Oktoberfest, everything's from Germany. And we'll get the grain, the hops, and all that stuff right from there. You know, our Hopstillo IPA, that's a West Coast inspired IPA. So we're using American grain, we're using West Coast hops sourced from there, and so forth. So that's really how we select what we're going to do for each beer.
Are the recipes your own, though?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We've all been developed, most of them in the garage, and some of them were developed now, all being developed right here at our brewery.
That's really great stuff. Now, to the uninitiated, people might not know the difference. I mean, they hear about beer, lager beer, pilsner, ales, on and on, but they might not know what the difference is. Explain that to our audience.
Yeah, we primarily brew ales. Ales are top fermented, and they are produced in about 2 weeks' time. Lagers, on the other side, are bottom fermenting, fermented at a colder temperature, and they take a good 6 to 8, 10 weeks, depends. You know, you can go out quite a ways with it. Turning your tanks, as we call it, it's a lot longer process. You hold on to it in that fashion.
So it depends where out of the tank the beer is labeled, right? The kind of beer?
Has to do with the type of yeast that's used and that temperature it's fermented at. Lagers take a lot longer because they're fermented at a lower temperature. So that's the process that's going on there versus ales, which they turn really, like I said, a higher temperature, and they turn really fast.
For people who might not know, what is an India Pale Ale?
India Pale Ale. The basic story really is way back when England, they needed to make beer and send it over to India, they found that actually hops are a preservative. I don't know if they really knew that at the time, but they knew that the beer was still good when the ship got to India. So they took and just loaded it up with hops, that particular beer that was going over there. It made the journey. It was still tasting good. Now we realize that hops are really a preservative, and that's really what the backstory to that is.
Okay. Water. What kind of water do you use? Because we hear some beers advertise that they're made with spring water.
Yeah, lucky for us, when we were at Tommy's house, obviously we were, you know, residential, we were on a well. Up at our facility, we're on a well is over there again, which is great. We had the water tested, and it was almost identical to what we were using at Tommy's house, so we just ran with it. We adjust slightly if we need to, but for the most part, all of our beers are coming out just the way we want them with the raw groundwater that we're getting. So it's fantastic.
How do you know when the beer is acceptable for sale? Do you taste it, and do you determine it that way? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's part of the brewing process. You know, once you make the beer, essentially, we don't really make beer. The yeast makes the beer. We make sugar water. So we we extract all that sugar out of the grain. It's called wort in the brewing process. That there is then put into a fermenter, pitch yeast to it, and it activates, and it chews on that for a period of time, which is about 4 or 5 days where the active fermentation starts really slowing down, and then the conditioning process starts. Along the way, we monitor the gravity. So it starts out with a sugar level really high, and it chews it, turns into an alcohol, and that number goes lower. The difference between those two numbers, the start and the bottom, with a calculation, gives you your alcohol content. Once we know what we reach, what called terminal gravity, where it's finished, we let it condition a couple of days, chill it down to a certain temperature so that we can harvest the yeast out of it, carbonate it, and package it. So 12 to 14 days on an ale is where we're at.
Did you know any of this before you got involved in this hobby?
Not before I got in the hobby, yeah. No.
You just drank beer?
Just drank beer. Loved beer. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then we're like, oh, it was interesting how to make stuff, and that kind of, that's where I went from there.
And you educated yourself by experimentation? Did you read books on this? How did you educate yourself?
Yeah, books. Books are the biggest thing, yeah. None of us have a classic brewing license or education. We're home brewers. We figured it out on the way. Threw some beer out. You know, but it's better to throw out 5 gallons than it is to throw out 465 gallons, that's for sure. So, we just kind of learned, experimented. Tommy was brewing a lot longer than I was, and my other partner, Joe. So he already had a bunch of knowledge, and then we just kind of got together, and it just kind of clicked, and we went from there.
Well, now, what also fascinates me is that it's three of you have been in business?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you've stayed together for this while, because sometimes, as we know, there can be disputes. I mean, yeah. How are you able to make it work?
There's no time for that. There's just no time for that. There's too much work to be done. No, it's all good. We have a great time. You know, it's serious business now, but no, we're doing very well.
What do your families think of this?
Oh, they love it. I think sometimes it's the they can't believe how we went from nothing to that in such a short amount of time, and it happens a lot in this industry. But, you know, it gets a bit stressful sometimes. Like I said, it is 7 days a week. I try to carve out a few hours here and there or a day here and there, but you're always constantly on your mind. But if you're in business of any kind, that's just the way it is when you're in business for yourself.
But it sounds to me, obviously, you've got the passion for it, so that's what drives you, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's the biggest help right there, exactly.
Now, if people can't make it to Broadbrook Brewery, or even if they can, but if they want to buy your product in stores, can they?
Absolutely. We're distributed all through Connecticut and Western Mass. So package stores, if they don't carry it for some reason, you just ask them. We have major distributors, which every package store buys from, so it's no problem getting the product. Bars and restaurants, they go on tap. It goes on and off. People have rotating lines, so you'll find us one day, and maybe you might find us not the next day, but then you go back 3 weeks, and there we're on again. It's just kind of the cycle of taps. There's only so many taps, and there's so many breweries. We do a lot of, we're in a lot of chain places as well, like Longhorns and, you know, 99s, Ruby Tuesdays, all those types, as well as, you know, crafty bars. I know I mentioned out in Torrington.
Backstage.
Backstage, right. We were speaking earlier about that, yeah. So places like that, Eli Cannon's, those places, Lucky Taco, these are more crafty kind of places. We hit all those places, too.
But now, think about this for just a moment, and as you said, how far your business has come since it opened in October of 2013. That's another aspect of the business that you had to deal with, the distribution of the product. What did you do to educate yourself on how this is distributed?
Well, the biggest part we did when we first opened, before we even opened, we kind of decided what kind of brewery we wanted to have and how far we wanted to take it, at least at that point when we were looking at it. And the things that we looked at was distribution, whether we could self-distribute, which means we go to every package store and deliver the stuff, pick up the check, whatnot, and come back and forth, or you go through the distribution channel, where now you have distributors where they pick the product up from you, they give you an order, and they deal with all the package stores and restaurants and stuff like that. Because of the volume that we wanted to get to and the size that we want to get to, that made more sense than trying to be smaller and try to handle all of that. That's really another business, just the distribution, the logistics of trying to get to everywhere, and then the accounting part of it, the whole other facet that we knew we wouldn't have time to do that. So that's why we chose this road to go down.
Yeah. Do you worry, because we see the big beer companies, you know, InBev buys this one and that one, and the next thing you know, they're talking about brewing their own craft beers, and they have such a large slice of the market anyway. My sense is you've got enough, but do you worry that they might try to infringe on your territory?
They're going to, but what's happening really, and like a lot of other things, local. People want to try the local stuff. You know, they know that mass-produced Bud and whatnot, Coors and stuff like that, that's always going to be there. We'll never dent that whole thing, but people really want to have the crafty, locally made stuff, so we don't see any real issue with that at all.
So, in other words, as long as you carve out your niche, that's what you're seeking, right?
Exactly. Essentially, that's exactly what we're looking for. Yeah.
I want to get back to your ingredients for just a moment, because I was reading that you go for the highest quality ingredients. Talk about that.
Well, that's true. That's, you know, like I said, when we're doing Oktoberfest, we buy our grain from, through a wholesale place, but still from, we selected Weyermann. Weyermann is the top grain producer in Germany, highest quality, from our perspective. When we buy our English grains, Baird's, is the brand, and they do a phenomenal job. We just think the quality of their stuff is so good, so we hand select those or picked those particular brands. We can get other grains that may cost us a little less, but we think the quality will suffer. It's not going to be what we really want.
So you get what you pay for, in other words.
As everything, yeah, absolutely.
Now, you've got this schedule. We mentioned all the beers that you make, and you make them throughout the year. You've got a calendar here, is that right?
Right, correct. That's our release calendar. We use that for distribution and our sales force. We have a couple of salespeople on the road as well. And this way, the bars, restaurants, package stores can look at, okay, when is this next beer coming out? We have four core beers, which is, like I said, Hopsillo, Broadbrook Ale, Chet's Session IPA, and then our Porter's Porter. Those are out year-round. Mm-hmm. And then we sprinkle in with, like right now, Pink Dragon Wit is a summer beer. It came out end of April, and it'll last through, like, about August or so, just before Oktoberfest comes out. Oktoberfest comes out August 1st. It's obviously early, but that's when it needs to hit the market. But in any event, that one comes out. Then we sprinkle in some other stuff, and we have stuff that's not even taproom release. So, you know, like I said, out of that, we've about 22 beers during the year that we make.
And when can we expect to start buying the Made in the Shade IPA?
That is going to be released the last week of June. The distributors are getting it, and they're going to get it all on the shelf just before the 4th of July weekend.
Perfect time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the best pieces of business advice you have received that you might want to share with our audience to anybody who's in business or thinking about going in business?
Oh, geez. Do your homework. Definitely do your homework, and don't be afraid to ask questions, especially from people in the industry. Mostly, I've found anybody I asked, they were more than happy to share information or guidance and stuff like that. So I think that's really the best advice I can say.
I mean, you think about this for just a moment, Eric, and this is a small craft brewery, but in many respects, look at how big it is. Look at how big this operation, this small craft brewery operation is.
And we have, I think we're up to 14 employees already. You know, a bunch of part-time because of our tap room and stuff, but, you know, we have a full-time salesperson, just hired another salesperson. You know, it's just growing. Inside production people. It's amazing. Like, go from zero in 2.5 years to think they would have 14 people working for us and busting at the seams at our facility where we need to seriously find a new place because we're just out of room and out of capacity.
We have about a minute left. Technology. How do you see technology changing your business?
Technology's the biggest part is, and we're going to implement this probably more in the next brewery that we build, is more control and stuff. They, all the high-tech gadgets. I mean, you can do stuff where you can see it on your phone now. Oh, what's the temperature of that tank? Oh, you know, Tommy could just go on his phone and look at that. Oh, it's too high. Let me just dial it down a little.
Wow.
That kind of stuff's coming out. It's there already. We don't utilize it right now, but we will be. But that's definitely a huge effect on the business. A easier way to tap into it and be able to control it.
I have about 15 seconds left. What else would you like to add?
The only thing I'd like to add is I'd really like to thank everybody out there that enjoys Broadbrook Brewing beers and stuff. We are so appreciative that you guys support our brand. That's really about, that's where I'd like to leave it at. Really thank you so much to everybody out there.
Eric, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
We've got Fox News coming up, and then we will be back on Front and Center. Stay tuned.